Amen. Thank you very, very much, Quartet. Appreciate that song this morning. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 this morning. We'll get there in just a moment. Thankful for brothers and sisters. We had twins singing here and then two sisters. That's fantastic. Like to see them. Three of them have finished college and are laboring now in the workforce, and then one of them is just starting. So we had to pray for Colleen as she gets her feet in the water of higher education and so forth. So exciting to see how young people do as they go off to college. It's just the blink of an eye, and they're back and done. I know it doesn't seem like that when you're in October of your sophomore year. It seems like it's going to take forever, but glad for our young people and glad for the ministry of our young people. A couple of things before we get started in Galatians chapter 5. First of all, a reminder of our registration for our couples retreat. Each year, we have different opportunities with our couples retreat. This year, we will be here in town, and we have reserved space at a very nice hotel up at Tyson's Corner. And I'd love for you to join us for that special Friday night and Saturday. Brother Mike Elstock, who pastored at the Community Baptist Church here in South Riding, has since retired from that position, and he will be back here. He was on staff for many years at FBT. He'll be back for our anniversary celebration, and he'll also be speaking in our couples retreat. So we look forward to hearing from Mike and Betty Elstock there at our couples retreat. And then also a reminder, sign up for that retreat. We'll be out at the kiosk this morning. Space is limited on that. You can make your $50 deposit. They can give other direction on that. We also have our missions trip meeting. Our next missions trip is to Guayaquil, Ecuador. And if you're involved in that missions trip, I'm going to ask you to meet in room C4 following the service this morning. That's the last room on the right going down in the educational wing. And then if you are a member, or if you're a part of FBT as a regular attender or member, we're looking for folks that have medical credentials and training that we might utilize your part here in our ministry. And whenever we have different needs, we have folks that are spread out in the Sunday school hour and in the morning services and different services that are going on. And so we'd like to have about a half a dozen to a dozen folks that might have training in the medical field. And believe me, if you see me coming to do CPR or you see someone else coming to do CPR that's a trained physician or physician's assistant, you'll always want them instead of me. And so we do have a number of folks that are trained with CPR, and I think to myself of the running tale of how you want your doctor's accent to sound. And I always think of that, and when you're going in for surgery and they say, "Now what we gonna do here?" It's a little bit unnerving, all right? And so you don't want me to be that one. And so we'd like more specialized folks, and we'd like to have knowledge of that specialized training. If you would see Mrs. Anita Darby, she's back in the sound booth this morning. Just go by, see her, let her know that you work in some aspect of the medical field, and that would be a great blessing as we seek to add to our list. We're thankful. It's not every week that we have a medical need, but there are a lot of weeks where something comes up and we do need help, and so we'd like to expand that list and have the knowledge of your training. Reminder of our visitation as well, 7 p.m. Thursday nights and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. As always, I appreciate the many that go out and give of their time and energy in follow-up and in door-to-door and in ministry-type visits. That's a blessing. Galatians chapter 5, if you were with us last week, I do have to tell you this. At the end of the service, as we looked at our Christian liberty, at the end of the service, I met a gentleman that works in law enforcement for a beer company. So if you were here last Sunday morning and you heard my message, go back, listen to the message and everything like that. And it was very interesting to be able to talk to him and to be able to get some insight on his role in law enforcement. And I thought that was very unique because I greeted a guest. He was a visitor with us. I greeted him, Thankful for you to be with us. And after my message on Christian liberty and dealing with things related to liberty and everything like this, and he said begrudgingly, I work for a beer company. And I thought, oh boy. And you were here for the message this morning. But it's an interesting scenario on his role and everything like that. He's more of an Elliot Ness type guy. I'll call him that. And that'd be a good identifier there. I know we don't have prohibition right now, but he's more the Elliot Ness guy. But anyway, dealing with this section of Scripture is a real help for us if you would take what you are seeing and learn from it and make application in your own life. I have been greatly blessed in Christ with liberty. And the Bible says in verse number 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the bondage of Satan and the bondage of his companions, the bondage of the law. Don't go back to that. Understand that you are free in Christ. But there are things or fence lines that guide my liberty. There are ways that I am directed in how I use that liberty. Yes, I'm free in Christ Jesus. I'm free from the bondage of the law, but that doesn't mean that I just continue on in sin. Do we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Romans chapter 6. The Apostle Paul gives us guidelines, and he says, don't use your liberty, and it says it in verse number 13, as an occasion to the flesh. If your flesh is in the driver's seat of your life, it will destroy your effectiveness for the Lord. If your flesh is in the driver's seat, it will destroy your effectiveness. It will destroy your potential for the Lord. So I'm not to be guided in my liberty by my flesh. I'm not to look to cause a stumbling block for other people. So I'm not purposely going out of my way and saying, well, I've got liberty, and so you can't say anything about what I'm doing, and I just throw stumbling block after stumbling block. No, the Bible says that I am to, by love, serve one another. As I used the illustration last Sunday morning, I might have liberty to eat the meat that was offered to idols because I was never in that religion. I was never a part of that religious activity. That meat doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't, their God doesn't mean anything to me. Put the steak on the barbecue and bring it on. But if you've come out of that religion, if you were following that false God and you've been saved from it, then it may be hard for you to imagine that it's okay to eat that steak. There is a location in Kathmandu, Nepal called Pashupati. And it is the location where they basically come to the end of their lives and they will cremate those that have passed in the religion of Hinduism. And after the person is cremated, they will take all of the ashes and everything related to the altar that's been built and where the individual has been cremated, and they will push all of that into the river, and then a family member will go down and bathe in that river with all of the ashes that remain from that loved one that had passed away and had been cremated. Well, I've been there several times and seen how this whole process works and watched and observed. And frankly, there are many in the that were in the Hindu faith that have now become believers and Christians, and they don't go there. They have no desire to go there. They don't want to participate in it. They don't want to see it. They don't want to have any part of it. But it is eye-opening for those of us that have no understanding of what they're really doing in the religion of Hinduism. And so I've seen it on several occasions, but I've never been in that setting with someone that was once in the Hindu faith that has come to Jesus Christ. They say, I just don't want any part of that. And they're not mad that we go, but it's the effect that Hinduism has had on certain individuals over those that it just doesn't mean anything like it would to them. And so the Word of God says, yes, you have liberty, but I cannot let flesh be in the driver's seat of my liberty. If that is the case this morning, then I'm going to challenge you as a believer to get right with God because your flesh is controlling your life. And that needs to be corrected immediately. We'll say more about it in just a few moments. But then I'm also looking to, by love, I'm looking to serve one another. And the Bible says, if these are not the controlling influences, look at verse number 15. If ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. If we just act out in total liberty, what happens to our society? Well, if we all just go out of here and say, you know what, I've got liberty, I'm going to do 150 miles an hour down the Fairfax County Parkway. I've got liberty and there's a traffic jam on this side, the northbound traffic, so I'm going to drive in the southbound traffic. I have liberty. No, I have responsibility with that liberty and I cannot let my flesh in the driver's seat. I'm going to, by love, serve one another. So we came to this passage last Sunday morning, and this next section of scriptures, verses 16 through 25, is actually a larger message, and I will not be able to finish it all in one Sunday. So I'm going to break it up into smaller parts because I really want us to really grasp Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 can be a life-changing chapter if you will allow it to be that. I do not want my gravestone to say, Todd the licensee, and I lived by all my claims to freedom. I don't want the tombstone to say, Todd the legalist, and I held everybody to my standard, and if you didn't meet my standard, well, then you're just not good enough to be in my presence. I really pray that one day when I pass away, that the headstone would say, Todd the loving servant. I trust that I will be a faithful servant of the Most High God. And by the way, for all of our folks that are gathered here in the auditorium and those watching online, there is no higher calling than to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And so we'll look at a greater aspect to this and this conflict that we have in our world today. The Bible says here in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye could not do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The Bible then goes into the works of the flesh, and then it goes into the fruits of the Spirit. We'll look at those in coming weeks. But let's draw our attention to this matter of walking in the Spirit. I must state here at the outset that the only way that you can be walking in the Spirit is if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that all of us are born in sin. Sin is obvious. We don't have to teach our kids how to lie, but they learn how to lie. We don't have to teach our kids how to steal, but they learn how to steal. We don't have to teach our kids how to be selfish. They learn how to be selfish. The sin nature is in them from conception. We're born in sin. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one way at all whatsoever that you and I can meet the demands of the perfection of Almighty God in our own power. It cannot happen. You and I are born in sin. I say things that displease God. I think things that displease God. I do things that displease God. One of my songs that I listen to often on my now the technology is all right there on my phone. I'll listen to my different songs and so forth. Justified. I am so thankful that God sees me just as though I had never sinned. Isn't that incredible? How many times am I accessing 1 John 1:9? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I got saved, I did not take on a mantle of perfection. But when I got saved, I did take on the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you move from that position of sinfulness to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit of God. That is an immediate transaction. You're not waiting on anything else. On that day of salvation, at that moment of salvation, you received all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get. That is a fact. It's interesting at the number of things that the Apostle Paul dealt with the church at Corinth, and yet he says to them, as brothers and sisters in Christ, ye are the temple of the living God. We're not waiting on some second blessing. We're not waiting on some supernatural speaking in tongues. We're not waiting on some kind of conference from the preacher in the pulpit. The Bible says in that spiritual transaction, when you trusted Jesus Christ, you became the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is what's amazing. There are things that you would never consider doing here in the auditorium because, after all, that's the auditorium. But can I tell you right now, this auditorium, this space, is not as important to God as your body as a living sacrifice. If you wouldn't do it in the auditorium, it's probably not something you should be doing anyway. Why? Because your body is the temple of the living God. Now, I do think we have a semblance of sacredness in this place. I mean, we don't have PE class in here. We don't tear down the pews and throw the football and have parties and everything like that. There is a sense of sacredness, but the bottom line is this is square footage. Whereas your body is the temple of the living God. And so what you say is coming out of the temple of the living God. What you wear is a demonstration of the temple of the living God. What you put on and what you take off are both demonstrations of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be very careful in the way I act and carry myself. Why? Because I am representing the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit that dwell within. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, then today's the day. Understand that the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Do you know Christ? Has there been a time in your life where you've repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ alone for your eternal salvation? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I move then back to verse number 16. If you know Christ is your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God is living within you, you have all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get. Now the question is, does the Holy Spirit have all of you? The process of sanctification is the process whereby the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God to make the child of God more like the Son of God. So how are you and I doing? How are we doing? The Bible says here, and this is point number one from a longer message, if you want to write this down, this is the first thing that we're going to look at, is the command to walk in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul says to them, again, around the context of liberty, this defining issue of liberty, not going back to the law, not going back to the enslavement that is there with Satan and his crowd. But he says, you have liberty, and here's your fence line of liberty. It's not to be pleasing to the flesh. It's to, by love, serve one another, and my liberty is directed and controlled by walking in the Spirit. Number one, the command to walk in the Spirit. The word for walk here in this verse, in verse number 16, is the word peripateo. Peripateo, meaning a continuous, regular action, an habitual way of life. He's not giving us as believers an option. He is saying walking is movement. As a believer submits to the Spirit's control, he moves forward in his spiritual life. Okay, Todd, have you ever listened to music
that is not pleasing to the Spirit, but was pleasing to the flesh. And I would have to say and acknowledge, yes. There were days in my past where I was aware of and listened to music that is not pleasing to Almighty God. But as God gets more and more of my life, I realize, you know what? That music is pleasing to myself and not pleasing to the Holy Spirit of God. So what do I need to do? I need to change my music. Todd, and you can go through every single area of life, the language that we speak, the words that come out of our mouth. Was there ever language that came out of your mouth that did not please Almighty God? Was there ever dress that was put onto your body that did not please Almighty God? You take all those things and you say, okay, that was all done to please the flesh. But I'm moving, I'm walking, I'm changing to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I got up here this morning, and this was a thing a little many years ago, but if I got up here this morning and I had a pacifier in my mouth, sitting on the front row and then going around and greeting everyone, and then I got up in the pulpit with the pacifier in my mouth, and then I took it out and I spoke to everybody, but then I put it back in my mouth, would anyone think anything was odd? Anybody that's going to say, what's up with that, you know? I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was a time where teenagers were using pacifiers. And I'm not talking about the candy rings, you know, where they'd have the giant crunchy piece of candy on top of a ring that they'd have in their mouth. I'm saying actual pacifiers, and there's a number of different reasons why they were doing that. But whenever I'd see that, I'm like, what's up? What's going on? If you saw me today with a pacifier in my mouth, you'd say, okay, Pastor, what's up? If I was sitting on the front row and I came down with my new batteries and my microphone pack and I put on my headset and everything and I had my blue blankie and I had my teddy bear that I had and got early on in life, my grandmother made for me, which has lost an eyeball. It's actually a cat, but it doesn't really look like a cat anymore. It's kind of one-eyed Willie now. If I came up with my blankie and my cat, would you say this morning, Pastor, what's up? Just please tell me this is some kind of visual illustration. Now that I'm saying all this, I should have done that. That would have been great. Pacifier, blue blankie, my teddy bear. I'd feel, you say, well, this is, my wife just had a conversation in recent months with a college president, and the college president said that we would be amazed by the number of students that come with emotional support animals now. And I'll just tell you right now, I had three roommates and I got all the emotional support that I needed from them as a freshman. My senior roommate looked like Ivan Putski from the old World Wide Wrestling Federation. And it was all about him if he could suplex us off of a top rope. Believe me, I did not want to walk into that room with a blankie or with a pacifier or any kind of emotional support animal, okay? Now, I understand if your kids really like their dog, their cat, their mouse, their hamster, whatever, and they don't want to leave it. But anyway, I'm concerned about this coming generation and our ability to really stand strong on the battlefield with our emotional support animals. Anyway, that's another message. I don't know how I got off on that. But God is saying to each one of us, you're walking, it's movement, and I want that walk to be something that is in the Spirit. So I'm not using the flesh in the driver's seat. I'm by love serving one another, and then my liberty is controlled by walking in the Spirit. I'm submitting to the Spirit's control, and He moves my spiritual life forward. Do you remember back in Galatians, I think it's Galatians chapter 3, do you remember the illustration that was used with the law? And the Bible said that the law is like my schoolmaster. And this is another great illustration. We have school just around the corner. Wouldn't this be funny? This would be so funny. We have the boo-hoo and woo-hoo day where some parents are dropping off K-3, K-4, K-5, and the parents come in and they're doing the boo-hoo or the boo-hoo or woo-hoo, and they're coming in and they're like, oh, my little Johnny's going to go to school. What if parents of seniors did that? My little boy is a senior. Do you want mommy to come and take care of you in class today? If you're a senior and your mom made your lunch and you pulled out the lunch and it said, hey, little Johnny, I hope you're doing okay by lunchtime. You'd be like, what's going on? By that stage of life, we don't need the schoolmaster taking us by the hand and bringing us to the class and setting it all up. No, we've advanced. Instead of someone else putting discipline upon us, we have disciplined ourselves to do what is right. I'm under the assumption that our men and women that serve in the military, that are in their 10th year of military service, have got it down better than those that have been in the military for 10 days. I'm assuming that's the case. Well, why is that? They go under into the arena of discipline and someone else putting it upon them, and then when they get it for themselves, they're launched out on their own and they're successful. And that's exactly what God is saying to all of us. Walk in the Spirit. This is a day-by-day process. This is a command. Walking in the Spirit is like walking on stepping stones. In East Tennessee, in our first house that we built, this is 1995, 96, we had a gentleman that we had met, and he said, hey, I really like you. We're a young couple. We've been married for just a few years. And so he was going to build a house for us, pay for it all, and then we were going to rent it back from him. Really, really kind man. And in the process of building, we began to understand what it means, and I mentioned this in our young adult class, what it means to deal with the red clay of East Tennessee. And so when they pushed aside all of the nice soil and left us with red clay, as the house was built and finished, they did not take that topsoil and put it back around properly, that richer dirt that would really grow grass and be help to us. They left so much of what had been cut down, they left it just the red clay. And that red clay is not too hard to deal with as long as everything is dry. But when that red clay gets wet. And so I said to my wife, I said, you know what? We need to put some stones out here for our walk from the house down. And it took us some time for us to get the driveway paved and everything taken care of and having it like we wanted. So we had some days where we had those stepping stones. I'm saying to you right now, you did not want to come off those stepping stones. Pastor, did you ever come off those stepping stones? Yes. And what happens to your shoe when you come off that stepping stone? It now weighs like 15 pounds. Because wherever it steps in that red mud, it attracts it and it stays, and you lift it up and you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't put this next one down on the nice stepping stones. So then you begin to lose shoes. And then you lose socks. Now you're barefoot and trying to keep the stepping stones nice, but you're carrying 15 pounds of dirt on those shoes, and you've left those shoes. Folks, God is trying to help each one of us from accruing to our lives that which we should never accrue. But you have to stay on His stepping stones, and you have to walk in the Spirit. Now, very quickly this morning, this command to walk in the Spirit, number one, there's no exceptions. This command applies to all believers. Well, Pastor, you have on the mantle of the pastorate, and so of course you must walk in the Spirit. No, if you know Christ as your Savior, you have as much of a responsibility to walk in the Spirit as I do. And all of us should be genuinely mindful of what God wants us to do with our lives. This command is to all believers. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We all understand what happens to a person that becomes intoxicated by a foreign substance. We all understand what happens. And now their life is not really in control of their own mind. Their life is in control of something else. Is being led by something else. Well, that something else is not supposed to be something that pleases the flesh. It's supposed to be the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 14, the Bible says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Holiness comes only by the Holy Spirit. Holy living does not come from our performance for God. Oh, isn't that really amazing that those young people could get up and sing that song? Singing a special in the services does not make one holy. Preaching a message in the services does not make one holy. Our performance does not detail for everyone else our level of holiness. It is what is happening in the closet where no one else sees what you're doing. How is your walk with Almighty God when no one else is looking? If you're trying to live according to the law and to set all these rules and regulations, you're actually this morning stifling the Holy Spirit's work in your life. If you're trying to measure up, we had a conversation in our prayer meeting this morning. I'm so thankful that the measurement for our ability to go to heaven is not our measurement this way. I'm not measured against you, and you're not measured against me. You might come into services on a Sunday and you might think, oh my goodness, that man has everything tucked away and everything where it ought to be. Oh boy, that family, they just have everything where it should be. Everything's tucked away. And in reality, they've got the outside cleaned up, but their inside is a mess. And so I want to challenge all of us not to think this way and to judge our holiness based upon our comparison with other people. I want us to all draw our attention to the one that really does matter, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, walk in the Spirit. Stay on the stepping stones. Move forward in that which is pleasing unto the Most High God. When I begin to compare my walk with His holiness, I can't help but say, but what Isaiah said, woe. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. When I really survey the holiness of God and then say, Lord, am I doing what you'd have me to do? It causes pause in my heart and life, because if I compare myself to the lowest of the low, I can surely find someone that I might be more moral than, that I might be doing better than. If I could just say this to all the teen department, teenagers, do not compare yourself to the rest of the teenagers in the teen department. Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could take it a step further, parents, do not compare each of your children to each of the rest of your kids. Compare them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great danger when we as parents say to our kids, why can't you be like your older brother? Because the day may come that that older brother may walk away like the prodigal son. And then you're in a mess because you were comparing child to child. In every single example, compare each one to the Lord Jesus Christ and challenge each one to walk in the Spirit. Not every child that's given to us has the same level of talents, but they've all been given to us by God and for God. Not all the teenagers in the teen department have the same level of talents, but they've all been given something to use for Almighty God. Walk in the Spirit. I watch these guys that play all these instruments and these ladies that play instruments and the folks that sing, and I am so envious. Because I know for a fact that I could be playing on the piano today if I didn't let other things take the time and energy that it would have been I took piano lessons for 6 months. And my music teacher said, maybe this is not for you. No. I could have stayed the course. I could have learned. I might not be Kenny Baldwin today, but I could probably play something on the piano if I would have just stayed the course on it. But the truth of the matter is that instead of doing all this comparison, we must do this comparison. Well, I'm a better husband than that guy. Well, I'm a better wife than that lady. Well, I'm a better teenager than that person. Oh, it won't take long and we can find someone that we're better than. But the command to each one of us is to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. No exceptions. Number two, no excuses. No exceptions. This is true for all of us. Well, I'm in full-time Christian service. Well, I challenge you to go to the Word of God and find a Christian that's not in full-time Christian service. I don't know what the Philippian jailer got, I don't know what the Philippian jailer did after he got saved. I don't know if any of you know. Does anybody in here know what the Philippian jailer did after he got saved? Did he quit the job at the jailhouse? I don't know. Maybe he did. We don't see it in Scripture, but maybe he surrendered to the ministry and went on. But in all likelihood, do you know what the Philippian jailer did after he got saved? He was a Philippian jailer. But I bet he was a much different jailer after he got saved. Whatever your role is in this world, it ought to be first and foremost to that of pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in His Spirit. No exceptions. Number two, no excuses. We are living in a world that is inundated with excuses. Oh, there's a great old Southern gospel song. I think it was sung by the Kingsmen. Excuses, excuses, excuses. You'll hear them every day. The devil, he'll provide them if from church you stay away. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend or just to stay home and relax and hope some of the kinfolk will start dropping in. Well, that preacher we've got must be the world's most stuck-up man. Well, the other day, he didn't even shake my hand. His sermons are too long. His sermons are too short. Well, he preached the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. We're filled with excuses. Oh, teacher, you don't understand. The dog ate my homework. I didn't have enough time to get it done. My parents made me go visit grandma, so I couldn't get the project finished. We are full of excuses. But do you know what God does not accept on this matter of walking in the Spirit? He does not accept excuses. And He says to you and to me, as good soldiers, as great athletes, as good farmers, walk in the Spirit and be what I'd have you to be. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand my background. You don't understand my environment and what I have for parents. Well, Pastor, you obviously didn't know that I haven't been saved that long. Or, well, Pastor, I've been saved so long that really that kind of stuff doesn't matter anymore. No. The believer who's led by the Spirit must be willing to go where the Spirit guides him, to do what the Spirit leads him to do, and to say what the Spirit leads him to say. You see, the Holy Spirit abides continually, every minute, every hour, every day, in the heart of the believer. So let me ask you, and let me ask me, how are we doing? As a parenthetical statement to this, and as a way of giving some homework for the week, I find it very interesting that before Christ says, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your own husbands, children, obey your parents, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, masters, take good care of your servants, servants, honor your masters, Before any of that is said in Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6, do you know what it says? It says in verse number 18, be filled with the Spirit. I would present to you this morning from the Scriptures that if we are not walking in the Spirit, we are not the individuals that we should be. We are not the husbands we should be. We are not the wives that we should be. We are not the co-workers we should be. We're not the bosses that we should be. We're not the employees that we should be. Because if you and I are walking in the Spirit, our flesh will not be in the driver's seat. We will, by love, serve others. And this life is not about us. It will be about Him. So let me ask you, how you doing? The command is clear. No exceptions and no excuses. Walk in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You for this section of Scripture. And I pray again, as I have